public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you in this morning to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Hang on a second, folks. And we'd like to welcome you to Christian Worldview this morning with Dr. John Coben. We thank you for joining us. Currently, the weather in Greenville, Spartanburg, 65 degrees. Downtown Greenville's got 68, Anderson 67, and Clemson 67. Going to get up to a high in the lower 90s today. So yes, it's going to be another hot day. Summer has hit us, even though summer is still 4 days away, technically. Been a very warm and many times muggy spring, so you can be prepared for another warm, sunny day today. Many of you, of course, will enjoy that. Some of us are not used to the heat still, and that is not something to be desired, or at least something to be desired, I should say. But at any rate, that's your weather for the day as you're making your way out to the office. Hope you have an enjoyable trip. I want to remind you all to check out tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net. Either one of those have the homepage for the Tyranny Response Network. Just a reminder, this month, folks, we have a special drive trying to raise some funds to improve the signal quality here in the upstate of South Carolina. If you go to the tyrannyresponse.com website and scroll down to the bottom, you'll find out the address, P.O. Box 151 in Piedmont, South Carolina. We'd appreciate any donations you can give this month, and if you are able to give more than $25 or $25 or more, this month you'll receive a free autographed copy of my book, latest book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. $100 or more, you'll also receive the DVD entitled Warriors of Honor, about the life and legacy of Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee. On the tyrannyresponse.network, .com website, you'll find also the events of the upstate. For instance, if you go to the calendar at the bottom of the events tab, you'll find that tonight is the League of the South meeting at Prime Sirloin. Hope you can attend that meeting at 6:30. Tomorrow night, the Carolina Patriots will be meeting at Fountain Inn. That'll be 104 South Main Street in Fountain Inn. Hope you can make that meeting as well. And then on Saturday, you have the Upstate Libertarian picnic in Williamston at noon. So those are some of the events coming up. And, of course, next week we'll have the Institute on the Constitution, as usual, Monday evening, 6 p.m. at 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer. If you just simply go to the events tab of tyrannyresponse.com, you'll be able to find out all that great information. Hope you take advantage of it. Make Tyranny Response, the Tyranny Response Network, your focal point for all the happenings of the right wing, as we're called, here in the upstate. And we hope that you'll indeed avail yourself of the many things on tyrannyresponse.com. The audio link, by the way, is something else worth listening to. You'll find all sorts of excellent programming. They're not only the current and most recent shows, as well as some special shows of Christian Worldview, but various Liberty Minutes programs. Do you want to know about the nature of the state and the Christian's relationship to its public policies? Here, for instance, the theology of public policy and historical context, divine ordination of the state, Christian views on rebellion, Christians and self-defense, and the differences between governments and states. All these things are listed there, as well as many other topical items, such as the covenant marriage issue, the immigration problem, many other important things, lotteries included. All the promos you hear on Christian Worldview and the Tyranny Response Network throughout the day are also there, including some of the great funny things that Rip and Richie's put together, Comforting the Afflicted, Ear Candy, The Pizza Order, Homeschooler Friendly, Make Your Day with Music. All those things are all there, TRN Airways. And, of course, you can go to Rich's comedy site, his Pop and Lock site, via link on the same page if you want to hear again things like the government church and all the other funny things that he does for Sacred Cow and Slaughterhouse. And speaking of which, his show is having some technical difficulties getting on the air. He tried again yesterday to put some things together, but it needed to speak of some technical people, as I understand, and he was not able to do it successfully, and so that show is still being delayed. They're ready to go with that afternoon show, but as soon as they can get that thing started up, they will be going ahead and doing so. Please check in at 4:30 every day, 4:30 to 6, and see if you can hear a great afternoon show, the Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse. Well, news this morning, quite interesting day, it looks like. Another great day in Iraq, 6 more GIs killed. Seems like a broken record. Of course, I was listening to the mantra of the so-called conservatives, the neocons of the day, who are just talking about, all they do is complain about how many people are killed every day in Iraq, these lefty types. They don't ever talk about all the lives we've saved. Well, this is just a bunch of nonsense, folks. We're talking about neocon doublespeak, neocon claptrap. Perfect nonsense, folks. People are being slaughtered over there, whether they be Iraqis or Americans, to fight an imperialistic, insane war funded by George W. Bush and to some extent now the Congress of the United States. It is a sad state of affairs. We are not there bringing peace and justice and harmony to the land. No matter what common show hosts tell you, no matter what you hear from radio and media in general. Yesterday I had the unfortunate Yesterday I had an opportunity to talk to a call in another show personally, because my former co-host was actually on the air, and I wanted to ask him some very pointed questions about the Bush administration and so forth, and his and just about public policy theology in general. He gets so upset when he speaks to me. He got so angry he just ended up hanging up the phone before I could have a chance to reply to him. Which is typical. I mean, what happens when you're a neocon or a leftist? You can't handle the truth and people dealing with you on some very important issues, so the best thing to do is cut them off. He has a history of doing that. I won't mention his name right here now. Maybe I will at some point. But at any rate, he had espoused when I was on the radio show, and he was sort of the liberal side of things, that if George Bush really did not take a charge in the second term, that he was going to lose the faith finally in the Republican Party. That indeed, if the Senate, having the majority, did not take care of this filibuster problem and then move on and move forward with the agenda that Christians would be happy with, he was going to lose faith in the Republican Party and move on. Has he? Well, guess what, folks? He's still there. He's still making excuses for him, believe it or not. No matter how bad they are, he just sits there and says, the Constitution Party. What a waste of time. There were more people who voted for a South Carolina representative seat than there were for the entire nation for the Constitution Party. What a waste of time. Well, you know what? Voting for principle is never a waste of time, folks. It's the right thing to do, and if everybody voted for principle, we wouldn't have near the problems, would we, of voting for pragmatism, as this show host promotes, that indeed you wouldn't have to worry about things that were caused by pragmatic and foolish leaders. So that was interesting. It was an interesting call. He also didn't have any kind of consistent response when it came down to the Second Amendment, when it came down to issues regarding slavery, or the bigger think issues about the war, the revolution, American Revolution. He was lacking. Because why? He's ignorant. He's ignorant of the main issues of public policy. And you know what? He's a leading professor, I want to say he's a leading professor. He's a professor of a Christian worldview program at a university. It's amazing. What do you suppose kids get when they go up and listen to that? Not a whole lot. They're not really learning a lot about the Christian worldview, I'd have to say. They're learning something, but it's truly not a biblical theology of public policy, and it's certainly not anything consistent. At any rate, enough more harping on that this morning. Just to show you that we are different here. You have a totally different kind of worldview that's being promoted here than you get otherwise on the network, even compared to so-called Christian stations. We are a unique show here at Christian Worldview. We are here to make you think better, and we are trying to take the tiger by the tail, swing him around, and thrust him out. And with your help and with your prayers and support in every way, we'll be able to do just that. Again, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Come up to a time for a break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
New DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we do welcome you back to Christian Worldview. Look forward to your phone calls this morning to 864-849-0275. That's 864-849-0275. Our backup line also works, which is 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Well, we usually don't engage in such low-brow tactics as bashing other talk show hosts, do we here? Well, sometimes we do, but when they just get so neocon and so far, and he hated being called a neocon, by the way, the other day. He just hated it. He said, "I'm not a neocon." Well, you know what? He is a neocon, whether or not he likes it or not. I mean, he loves the aggressive warfare and interventionist foreign policy that all neocons like. There may be a few things where he differs from the typical run-of-the-mill neocon, but he does not differ in that respect and in many others. At any rate, if someone doesn't expose their folly, then who will? And it's our job to try to do that here, because on Christian Worldview, you need to have a different perspective. A true conservative or true pro-life libertarian perspective is what you're going to get by listening to this station, not neoconism. All right, well, we have lots of interesting stories going on today, a number of stuff on the schooling issue, but I've got to get to this one first. This is just fascinating stuff when I read this. Former Bush team member says the World Trade Center collapse is likely a controlled demolition and inside job. Now, this is actually, this is interesting. Came out on the 13th of June. ArcticBeacon.com is the website where it was found. Former Bush team member says World Trade Center collapse likely a controlled demolition inside job by Greg Szymanski, a former chief economist in the Labor Department during President Bush's first term, now believes the official story about the collapse of the World Trade Center is bogus, saying it is more likely than a controlled demolition destroyed the Twin Towers and adjacent building number 7. If demolition destroyed three steel skyscrapers at the World Trade Center on 9/11, then the case for an inside job and a government attack on America would be compelling, said Morgan Reynolds, Ph.D., a former member of the Bush team who also served as director of the Criminal Justice Center at the National Center for Policy Analysis, headquartered in Dallas, Texas. Reynolds, now a professor emeritus of Texas A&M University, also believes it's next to impossible that 19 Arab terrorists alone outfoxed the mighty U.S. military, adding the scientific conclusions about the World Trade Center collapse may hold the key to the entire mysterious plot behind 9/11. It's hard to exaggerate the importance of scientific debate over the cause of the collapse of the Twin Towers and Building 7, said Reynolds this week from his offices at Texas A&M. If the official wisdom on the collapses is wrong, as I believe it is, then policy based on such erroneous engineering analysis is not likely to be correct either. The government's collapse theory is highly vulnerable on its own terms. Only professional demolition appears to account for the full range of facts associated with the collapse of the three buildings. More importantly, momentous political and social consequences would follow if impartial observers concluded that professionals imploded the World Trade Center. Meanwhile, the job of scientists, engineers, and impartial researchers everywhere is to get the scientific engineering analysis of 9/11 right. However, Reynolds said getting it right is today's security state remains challenging because he claims explosives and structural experts have been intimidated in their analyses of the collapses of 9/11. From the beginning, the Bush administration claimed that burning jet fuel caused the collapse of the towers. Although many independent investigators have disagreed, they have been hard-pressed to disprove the government theory since most evidence was removed by FEMA prior to independent investigation. Critics claim that the Bush administration has tried to cover up the evidence and the recent 9/11 commission has failed to address the major evidence contradicting the official version of 9/11. Some facts demonstrating the flaws in the government jet fuel theory include: 1. Photos show people walking around the hole in the North Tower where 10,000 gallons of jet fuel supposedly was burning. When the South Tower was hit, secondly, most of the North Tower's flames had already vanished, burning only for 16 minutes, making it relatively easy to contain and control without a total collapse. 3. The fire did not grow over time, probably because it quickly ran out of fuel and was suffocating, indicating without added explosive devices, the fires could have been easily controlled. 4. FDNY firefighters still remain under tight government gag order not to discuss the explosions they heard, felt, and saw. FAA personnel are also under a similar 9/11 gag order. 5. Even the flawed 9/11 Commission report acknowledges that none of the fire chiefs present believe that a total collapse of either tower was possible. 6. Fire had never caused steel-frame buildings to collapse except for the three buildings on 9/11. Nor has fire collapsed any steel high-rise since 9/11. 6. The fires, especially in the South Tower and World Trade Center number 7, were relatively small. WTC-7 was unharmed, seventhly, by an airplane and only had minor fires in the 7th and 12th floors of this 47-story steel building, yet it collapsed in less than 10 seconds. 8th, World Trade Center 5 and 6 had raging fires but did not collapse despite much thinner steel beams. 9th, in a PBS documentary, Larry Silverstein, the WTC leaseholder, told the fire department commander on 9/11 about WTC-7 that it may be the smartest thing to do is pull it, slang for demolish it. And 10th, it's difficult, if not impossible, for hydrocarbon fires like those fed by jet fuel kerosene to raise temperatures of steel close to melting. Despite numerous holes in the government story, the Bush administration had brushed aside or basically ignored any critics. Mainstream experts speaking for the administration offer a theory essentially arguing that an airplane impact weakened each structure, and the intense fire thermally weakened structural components, causing buckling failures while allowing the upper floors to pancake onto the floors below. One who supports the official count is Thomas Eager, professor of materials of engineering and engineering systems at MIT. He argues that the collapse occurred by the extreme heat from the fires causing the loss of load-bearing capacity on the structural frame. Eager points out that steel in the towers could have collapsed only if heated to the point where it lost 80% of its strength, or around 1,300 degrees Fahrenheit. Critics claim this theory is flawed because since the fires did not appear to be intense and widespread enough to reach such high temperatures. Other experts supporting the official story claim the impact of the airplanes, not in the heat, weakened the entire structural system of the towers, but critics contend the beams on floors 94 through 98 did not appear severely weakened, much less the entire electrical structural system. Further complicating the matter, hard evidence to fully substantiate either theory, since evidence is lacking due to FEMA's quick removal of the structural steel before it could be analyzed, even though the criminal code requires that crime scene evidence be kept for forensic analysis. FEMA had destroyed or shipped overseas before serious investigation could take place. And even more doubt is cast over why FEMA acted so swiftly, since coincidentally officials had arrived the day before 9/11 attacks in New York's Pier 29 to conduct a war game exercise named Tripod 2. All right, well, we're not going to read the rest of this story. It's got great information in it. It's very intriguing to read. Now, I'm for one, have been very ignorant about the whole 9/11 tax. I'm a tax, and I'm learning all the time that there is a very concerted effort on the other side of things to discourage evidence like this from being brought out, and a lot of it makes a whole bunch of sense, folks. I'd like to hear from you this morning, if possible. 864-849-0275, 864-849-0275. I know this is somewhat conspiratorial, but that doesn't mean on its face it's not true. Why should I believe George Bush or anybody else in the government? I mean, ask yourself that question, then ask why. Well, maybe we should entertain this, shouldn't we? We're overdue for a break. We're going to go down to a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money, and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen, and in the name of law commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And once again, our show number is this morning, 864-849-0255. That's 864-849-0275. Hope to hear from you soon. This interesting stuff about the World Trade Center. I would love to hear from folks that really know something more. We had Alex Jones on the show earlier, and it seemed like he made a very compelling case for there being a conspiracy, the government setting up the job itself and doing it in order to enhance its own power. Wouldn't surprise me a bit, since they are the greatest beneficiary of the whole incident, and there are just so many people piled up on the other side saying that indeed it was an inside job. It's not just a few so-called conspiratorial kooks, folks. You're talking about scientists and others who know something about the structural engineering, for instance, something I know nothing about, but a lot of people are lining up and talking about it, so much so that Popular Mechanics wrote an article trying to defend the government position. And then you even have the debates going on C-SPAN with reasonable people who are not noted conspiracy theorists getting out there and telling you, guess what, this was an inside job. Interesting as it may be. Well, let's shift gears here. The Southern Poverty Law Center, which is not one of our favorite, they wouldn't be fans of ours here at Christian Worldview or the Tyranny Response Network. They've been supposedly fighting racial discrimination. Well, we doubt that, but on the other hand, let's talk about these guys from another point of view. They're also in favor of homosexual rights, and they've been pushing that lately, trying to continue to force down our throats or people's throats these rather extremist, nutty folks and immoral sodomites and their quest to overtake and overshadow the public school system. Of course, this isn't a hard thing to do. The public schools are already well aligned with them, as we've seen elsewhere. But someone sent me a note this morning saying, hey, look out for the Southern Poverty Law Center. Look what they're up to. And that's not the only news regarding this that's been going on today. We have from WorldNet Daily, Presbyterians are now calling to pull kids from the public schools. Pastor follows Baptist lead in presenting resolution to the denomination. And this is interesting. This is the Presbyterian Church in America. This is the more conservative, by far, more conservative denomination who is following suit. And the story goes as follows. Following the lead of Baptist activists, a Tennessee pastor from the Presbyterian Church in America, today is scheduled to introduce a resolution to the denomination's General Assembly to urge members across the nation to pull their children out of public school. As WorldNet Daily reported, a group of Baptists last year presented a resolution to the Southern Baptist Convention that eventually was killed, noting that the millions of children in government schools spend 7 hours a day, 180 days a year, being taught that God is irrelevant to every area of life. The resolution said, many Christian children in government schools are converted to an anti-Christian worldview rather than evangelizing their schoolmates. Duh. What do they expect? And we're talking about little kids here. They may not even know the first thing about evangelizing. They may not even be saved yet. I mean, we're talking about serious defects in their own ability to conceive of theology, and they're coming up against the experts, the ones who have been trained in secular humanism, and they think they're going to actually win. Well, by the grace of God, they might, but only by the grace of God might they win. And what we found is just the opposite, that 85% of all Christian kids, supposed from Christian families that go to public schools, reject the faith and end up hating Christ and departing from the Christian worldview. There's no competition, as the one guy said. It's, you know, half hour, an hour in Sunday school. We can't compete to 35 hours a week of brainwashing at government schools. Similar in tone, the article continues, the Presbyterian resolution is considerably shorter than the Baptist. It states this, whereas the Bible commands fathers to bring up their children in the training and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6:4, and all parents who have had a child baptized in the Presbyterian Church in America have taken a vow to strive by all means of God's appointment to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and a truly Christian education brings with the fear of the Lord, Proverbs 9:10, and teaches children to think biblically about all of life, 2 Corinthians 10:5, Romans 12:2, Deuteronomy 6:6-9, and whereas the public school system does not offer a Christian education but officially claims to be neutral with regard to Christ, and a position that Christ himself said was impossible in Luke 11:23. And whereas the public schools are by law humanistic and secular in their instruction, as a result the attending children receive an education without positive reference to the triune God, and whereas some courageous teachers in our congregations disregard this law, obeying God rather than men, they try to give their students a truly Christian education, Acts 4:18 through 20. This resolution should not be construed to discourage these adult believers who faithfully labor as missionaries to unbelieving colleagues and students. That's a shame that they wrote that in there. But anyway, however, these rare exceptions should, oh, that's good, call them rare exceptions, should not lead anyone to believe the public schools are regularly giving children a truly Christian education, whereas sending thousands of PCA children as missionaries to their unbelieving teachers and classmates has failed to contribute to increasing holiness in the public schools. Okay. Do people actually need to be told this stuff? I'm sorry. When I start, I'm reading this stuff, I just can't believe I'm reading it sometimes. I mean, I guess some people really are out there believing this missionary idea that kids are sent there and the teachers are listening to the kids and being converted, and the other classmates are being converted. I mean, folks, talk about living in a dream world. And let me go on here. Maybe they've listened to too much of Jimi Hendrix, or and they have some purple haze or whatever that was left over from the 60s, completely clouding their judgment. On the contrary, the Nehemiah Institute documents growing evidence that the public schools are successfully converting covenant children to secular humanism, and whereas we are squandering a great opportunity to instruct these children in the truth of God's Word and its application to all of life, therefore, be it resolved in the 33rd General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church of America, encourage all her officers and members to remove their children from the public schools and to see to it that they receive thoroughly Christian education for the glory of God and the good of Christ's church. Well, we have to applaud the Presbyterian Church of America. These folks, anyway, who are supporting this movement. We'll see what the PCA actually does. That's where the rubber meets the road. Will they actually say something now and do what's right? You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. It's time for a quick break. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN. Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
And we welcome you back. And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Sorry, folks, I was waiting for this show open spot to go there. We must have had a change in our lineup there. Otherwise, we would have got back a little bit sooner to you here. The weather in Greenville in the upstate of South Carolina is in the mid-60s at the moment. Going to get up to the 90s again. Going to be a real warm day and sunny. So if you're making your way out to work, nothing to worry about weather-wise other than how quickly you can get to your cubicle and enjoy that cool air conditioning or that car air conditioning as you make your way out to work this morning. Talking about lots of interesting topics today, the World Trade Center, as well as some movements away again from the public school as it's advocating this homosexual lifestyle. You can reach us this morning at 864-849-0275. That's 864-849-0275. We also have a backup line that works if you'd prefer that line, 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. And as a matter of fact, at the moment, we have a caller on the line. Paul, we'd like to welcome you to Christian Worldview.
Yes, good morning. How y'all doing this?
We're doing fine. How about you?
Doing okay.
Great.
Just amazed that y'all can talk about the 9/11 cover-up. That's great information that it's good to share with people.
Yeah, isn't that interesting stuff? I mean, this fellow used to work in the Labor Department under President Bush in the first term. He was the chief economist, and he's come out and said something. Now, of course,
there's probably half a dozen government whistleblowers that have gone out, gone public and talked about that there may be it certainly is a cover up of bad information, but maybe government complicity I always thought from the day it happened, I thought it was going to be an inside job.
So you weren't surprised by all this happening then? Yeah, this news report doesn't surprise you that they would actually do this sort of thing.
No, it doesn't. I mean, it surprises me morally, but not, not when you look at the history of what they've done over the years. It doesn't surprise me at all. The incident, of course, surprised me, but having some form of, government cooperation with it, that doesn't surprise us at all. You had, I believe you've had Alex Jones on the show, and he has some great information, great videotapes, and so does Michael Rupert, and a small underground newspaper, American Free Press, from almost day one has done a very good job of exposing the discrepancies of the official report and what actually happened.
Yeah, that was
great. Somebody on the radio actually discussed these things.
Well, I appreciate that comment. Yeah, when Alex was on the show here, I was very impressed with the man's knowledge base. He people write him off as being conspiratorial. A lot of people write him off as just being bombastic. If you listen to his show, he comes across as somewhat bombastic or maybe arrogant. And I've heard people just write him off for that reason. But I'll tell you what, when he was on the Christian Worldview show, he was very cool, collected, and precise in pointing out facts, just facts, one after the other, in quick form, and did a great job at showing, that he was a sensible person coming up with a sensible solution, or not solution, but explanation for what actually happened at the 9/11 scene. From an economics point of view, we have to say the greatest beneficiary of the World Trade Center attacks has been the federal government. There's just, hands down, they are the greatest beneficiaries of the whole thing. So that makes some sense. But when you look at the engineering aspects, apparently there's the government story leaves a lot to be desired.
It sure does. It's a lot of, you just have to, like you said, the public school system has done a good job of brainwashing us against the truth, or even the questioning government or the press, and that's part of their job. We just have to if some of us have suffered through the brainwashing in the public school system, we just have to make a concerted effort to get other people's information and look for the truth. A lot of people don't. They can't just, at least a lot of people I've met and known and continue to know, just they don't want to know the truth. The truth is just a terrible form, but we've got to know the truth. The truth is what it is.
Yeah, and it's hard
to... people are manipulating the truth. It's going to harm them one way or the other sooner or later, and if they're not prepared for it, they may not do them any good anyhow, but they certainly be worse off if without having an inkling what's going on.
Well, they certainly have a hard time changing, that's right, and change is tough, because when you hear the truth, you have to change, and change also requires making one uncomfortable, and people don't like being uncomfortable today. They got their job, and they've got their TV, and they've got their beer, and they've got their videos, and all the comforts of life, including Orlando trips and everything else.
And air conditioning, don't forget air conditioning on 90-degree days.
Yeah, you got to have that.
I understand, I was clueless. Maybe I still am clueless, but when I started to, opening my mind up to these things, it was very uncomfortable. I had the stomach cramps and sleepless nights and all kinds of different things. But the truth is what it is, and we ought to search it out.
Right. Well, I really appreciate the call this morning, Paul. We're just about to go to a quick break. Hang on if you'd like to through the break. Otherwise,
I've got a busy day. Emergencies. Right. But I'm going to have to listen. I enjoy your show thoroughly. Keep up the good work. Thanks for being courageous. And more power to you.
Well, thanks so much, Paul, for the call. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be right back.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we're also not afraid to talk about alternative views on certain things. It doesn't matter what your perspective is ultimately on 9/11, whether or not it was an inside job or whether the government story was correct. At least here on Christian Worldview, you're hearing some interesting food for thought, and other people who are educated, thinking people, coming up with different views, different stories to combat what, or to counter, I should say, what is commonly given out over all the network media. So, interesting, even if no matter what side you come down on, at least we're helping you think about something a little bit differently. It's not just a bunch of kooks coming up with telling you you haven't landed on the moon, or the United States never went to the moon, or, and that may not be kooky too. I don't know. I've never been to the moon myself, so how do I know? But, you know, this is a First Amendment station, and we're willing to listen, with the exception of profanity, to just about any theory that would be out there that would be reasonable to do to listen to. The other thing we've done recently, and it seems to have borne out, is the whole numbers on the Holocaust in Europe. You know, folks, when the government of the Ukraine actually took down the sign saying, well, that, you know, it wasn't 2 million Jews. I think it was in the Ukraine. It was Poland. I'm sorry, it was Poland. That said, it wasn't actually 2 million Jews killed here at Auschwitz. It might have been closer to 700,000. Well, that is a huge, and we don't even know the exact number still. But when the government there even admits that it weren't that many Jews killed, that there wasn't a Holocaust of 6 million, it might have only been 1 million or 2 million. That's big news to me, and it should be to you as well, because it shows that the revisionist historians have deceived us into believing something. We don't know how far the deception goes. There might have only been, I wasn't alive during that World War II period, there may have only been 5 Jews killed. I don't know. I doubt that's the case. But, you know, for all I know, that could be the, same. It might be the total number of Jews as low as 150,000. That's what I've heard some people say, as well as many others, of course, who were slaughtered by Hitler. He's still a mass murderer, a mega murderer, but it doesn't necessarily mean that many Jews themselves were killed. So, if you have an interest in talking about that, we'd love to hear from you. Remember the phone number this morning, 864-849-62... I'm sorry, I'm giving the wrong number. 864-849-0275. I get so caught up in my thoughts about these revisionist historians. I can't say the phone number correctly. 849-0275. The backup line, 864-201-6955. Well, we were talking a lot about the public school earlier, and the Southern Baptists, of course, have the convention coming up next week on Monday, and they are going to be, or Tuesday, I believe it starts. They're also going to be promoting, again, a resolution to get Southern Baptists to get out of the public school system. Why? Because it has a pro-homosexual agenda. Last year's agenda or resolution failed, so now they're trying to shave it down and just go after a piece of it. Just get the homosexual aspect noted by folks. Much of the Southern SBC church membership may be unaware of the radical nature of what our children are learning. Not only are they being told in K through 12 classrooms that homosexuality is an acceptable and even defensible behavior, but this behavior is being described in the most graphic terms imaginable in novels masquerading as literature in so-called health education. Our little children are reading picture books about homosexuals as heads of families. They are being told that early that opposing this is hate. The current educational philosophy is quite solidly on the side of escalating such messages. Despite the church-state separation card that is played to block or mock traditional Christian teaching, many schools boldly offer students progressive Christian viewpoints on sexuality that validate whatever morality. And is this deception a danger to not only the physical well-being of youth, but rather their commitment to Christ as well? You bet it is. Many students never receive the faith they claimed as a child. Once exposed to endless twisted messages about how hateful their parents' beliefs are, and how undiscerning tolerance is the hallmark of any real Christian. Party on down and let others do the same. Who needs a savior? That's the takeaway for most students from today's public school. The Southern Baptist Convention and every other church in this country should be up in arms about the threat to their present and future congregations. It's gone way past the risk presented by the more than 3,000 homosexual clubs now operating in high schools and a few middle schools. Remove your children is the bottom line. There is no other way to resolve this problem. Now, we've been saying this for a long time. I've said it on the past radio show I was on. I had the boldness, the audacity, when the producer butted in one time on my previous radio program on a mainstream evangelical station to say, yes, you are in sin if you've got your children in public schools. Why? Well, did you not hear what we read? The public school is promoting ungodliness. It's promoting an anti-Christian worldview. It's brainwashing the children which God commanded you to train up and rear in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and rear them according to God's principles, Ephesians 6:4. And it's twisted that so that they are being reared according to secular humanism, environmental drivel, as well as Marxian ideologies for world domination. This is what they learn in addition to the immoral lifestyle, in addition to the crime and hatred and so-called tolerance, what they call tolerance there at the public school. You cannot, as a Christian, be right before God and have your kids in a public school. I don't know any other way to say it more clearly, more concisely. I'm not saying you can't, they all have to be homeschooled, as my children are. There are plenty of fine Christian schools out there that they can go to. I know Ben Graydon, some others of my columnists at the Times Examiner, fellow columnists, they would disagree with that. They think they must be homeschooled. I don't share that perspective. I think you can make a case for going to a Christian school. I think homeschooling is vastly superior, but nevertheless, I don't think you're in sin by sending your kids to a Christian school. You are if they're in a public school. That's the bottom line, folks. It's your major enemy. It is our public enemy, number one. It is the thing which we have to defy at every phase of our existence as Christians here and now. It is our main enemy. They need to get it in our heads, folks, that that's what we're dealing with. And we're trying to help you do that here at Christian Worldview. I've talked about at length in many other shows previous to this one, the public school. And I'm just glad to see this group of Southern Baptists and these Presbyterians from the PCA going out on a limb right now and saying we need to tell our congregations to remove their kids from the public schools. At any rate, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to run to a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Oh, and we enjoy doing that immensely. Remember, the tyrannyresponse.net website is our main website for the Tyranny Response Network. You'll find there all the events that are going on in South Carolina, in the upstate, including Libertarian Party, Institute for the Constitution, Americans for Constitutional Government, Greenville County Taxpayers, the League of the South, the Carolina Patriots, all these wonderful meetings that go on that you should be part of if you possibly can. Tonight, remember, we have a meeting of the League of the South at 6:30 at Prime Sirloin. That information is found there on the website if you want to go and look up the exact details. At 6:30 tomorrow night, the Carolina Patriots at Fountain Inn will be meeting, and they will be having a special lecture by Pastor Tony Romo, who is a great TRN supporter and is a true patriot in liberty. Their meeting is at 104A South Main Street in Fountain Inn, and it starts actually at 6 p.m. when they have an all-you-can-eat supper for $6. Hope you can make it down to that meeting. The next day, on Saturday, in Williamston, South Carolina, the Libertarian Party is having its annual picnic. Hope you can meet there at noon and have some good food and listen to some interesting speakers. I'm actually going to go down there if I can, because I've been invited to speak, and I know that one speaker will be interesting at least. I don't know about the other ones. Probably all be good, actually. Just being facetious here a bit. Also want to give a quick plug for some of our related media. We have some excellent news sources we want to keep you apprised of as we go along. One is the Times Examiner. Remember, the Times Examiner is the conservative voice of the Palmetto State. If you're tired of reading liberal columnists, try the Times Examiner. A subscription is only $25 a year in-state and $27 a year out-of-state. You can get a subscription by calling 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. We also hope you support the paper if you have a business by placing a small ad in the paper. And you can do so by calling Bob or Laverl at the same number, or calling David, and you can reach David at 864-244-6464, ask for him by name, or 864-244-5546, and you can reach David and discuss an ad. The Nationalist Times is a politically incorrect monthly newspaper that has reported on the progress of the Christian Worldview program since it began. TRN listeners can obtain a free postpaid sample copy of it by calling Nelson at 864-642-4315. Visit the Times website, anu.org, which is an excellent website, by the way, to get news stories from. Mention this ad for a big discount on your subscription. The Nationalist Times picks up where the liberal media leave off and salutes Dr. Coben's pioneering broadcast work. And we appreciate all these supporters, these fine organizations and institutions, for their excellent efforts and work towards the cause of truth. Now, notice that we have a variety of people we support and talk about here on Christian Worldview. It's because we're not a lockstep sort of show. Even though I am a pro-life libertarian, we do not only emphasize the Libertarian Party here, we also emphasize the Constitution Party, the true conservatives, whatever they might be, and various news media outlets that may not agree with me. You know, I'm not afraid of you reading things that won't agree with me, by the way. because I know that ultimately the truth will prevail, and if I'm right, then indeed that will prevail. It makes no difference what else is printed. But you know what? I also realize that I, and as you should realize about yourself, am tainted with sin, and there is an opportunity for any of us to err in our ways and in our judgments, and therefore it's always great for folks that are generally like-minded to spar with different kinds of ideas to make sure that what we think is correct, and we are truly thinking God's thoughts after Him, and that's part of the Christian worldview. That's what we want to try to do. Disappointing when we listen to other shows claiming to be Christian worldview shows, and all we hear is neocon drivel, or all we hear is unthinking babble from gullible Christian right, still following fondly after the Pied Piper of George W. Bush and the Republican Party. It's sad to hear that, and we want to counter that. We want to be different than that as Christians. We don't want to simply follow along the talking heads or even the faithful, so-called faithful icons of the Christian right. Recently, we've criticized not only these other show hosts locally, but people like James Dobson. James Dobson is not following the Christian worldview, folks, either on his views of theistic evolution, his views of economics. They're all wrong, folks. He is not doing the right thing. And I understand he's even committed to a Freudian philosophy. Now, how many Christian stations are willing to stand up against the great James Dobson, who is the ultimate figurehead of Christianity today for most people? He's the one, it's a representative head. Anybody's truly a Christian, it's obviously James Dobson. Well, he may be a Christian, I'm not denying that, but I'm saying that he's got some serious theological problems and some other philosophical problems, and he's in great error, unfortunately. All right, well, at any rate, getting back to some other interesting points here, we have this global push for the United Nations, which we need to avoid at all costs. Talked about that on the show the other day. Want to actually emphasize that all of these trade agreements, any kind of globalist strategy, whether it's through the United Nations or WTO, the FTAA, the CAFTA, all of these things are designed to bring us under a system of government, a regional system of government that will undermine United States sovereignty and will also do away with many of the liberties and protections and rights that we have as Americans. We will effectively obliterate what the Founding Fathers had fought for and the principles and put us back into the globalist one world order, new world order tyranny that goes along. In fact, Stephen Yates' article this week talks precisely about that. He actually quotes from the European Constitution and has that phrase again in there, new world order. He mocks at those who say, well, you just call us conspiracy theorists, but this funny word, set of words, keeps appearing, this new world order. What does it mean? And he does a great job explaining just what it means in Europe and what it would mean here through CAFTA or NAFTA, or not NAFTA, we already have that, but the FTAA. And it's very wise for us to be aware of these wiles, because they're not going to stop until they win. They are going to continue to pound away at us until we give in to their new world order. And we need to be opposed to that in every step of the way. Well, here, J.P. Green, that middle initial is J, is P, so it's J, J-A-Y, P, then Green, and Green has an E on the end, has recently wrote a book from sponsored by the Manhattan Institute, which is a right-wing libertarian-slash-conservative think tank in New York. And it's called Education Myths, What Special Interest Groups Want You to Believe About Our Schools and Why It Isn't So. This is published by Roman and Littlefield and just came out in 2005. How can we fix our floundering public schools? The conventional wisdom says that schools need a lot more money, that poor and immigrant children can't do as well as most other American kids, that high-stakes tests just produce teaching to the test, and that vouchers do little to help students while undermining our democracy. But what if the conventional wisdom is wrong? In his book, J.P. Green examines 18 widely held beliefs about American education and finds that they just aren't true. In addition to myths about class size and teacher pay, he debunks common views about special education, special ed programs burden public schools, certification, certified or more experienced teachers are more effective, graduation, nearly all students graduate from high school, draining, choice harms public schools, segregation, private schools are more racially segregated, and a host of other hotly debated issues. Green's reasoned and accessible approach refutes each myth, with relevant and reliable facts and figures, including a broad review of the research. He believes our schools can be fixed. Oops, there's where he slips up. And concludes that the book will, with important recommendations that once implemented will help our schools achieve measurable and affordable success. This landmark book provides a vital frame of reference for education reformers and wake-up call for undemanding taxpayers. Well, they only put those last two sentences in here so this mainstream publishing house would publish the book, no doubt, because this is nonsense. You can't reform the public school. It can't be fixed. I really recommend, though, anything Green writes as far as a critique of public schools. He's an excellent scholar and does a great job. I'm on his mailing list, so I get to hear what he's up to all the time. At any rate, you've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coburn. Remember the phone number, 864-849-0275. That's 864-849-0275. Hope to hear from your calls. We're going to a quick break, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
This is Dr. John Coburn from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coburn's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coburn on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian Worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
Warning, Dr. Coburn's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coburn, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coburn. Dr. Coburn is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coburn is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coburn is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coburn with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coburn. Glad you've joined us here this morning. We have a wonderful. We've been having a wonderful show today, and talking about different issues. The public school is one, and the different Christian movements to get kids out of the public school, as well as this whole issue of the 9/11 bombings and how they might have been staged and set up by the state. Nothing would surprise us about the state here. It wouldn't surprise me at any rate that they actually did an inside job. And we've read some articles and evidence again for that. Once again, the phone number, 864-849-0275, 864-849-0275. Greenville, Spartanburg, 70 degrees, and downtown, 73 degrees, and Anderson and Clemson, 71 and 70 degrees. All areas of the upstate going to be into the lower 90s today. Probably still means it's going to be close to 100. They always underestimate what it's really going to be. But it's going to be a sunny day, a few clouds, a little bit of a breeze, but not enough to cool you down. So make your way to that cubicle as soon as possible if you're not there already to get cool from this torrential, horrible heat wave that is hitting us here in the upstate of South Carolina. Hopefully we'll have a cooler summer. Last summer wasn't too bad. This summer is far different. Well, at any rate, it's laughable to suggest Bush is anywhere close to being a libertarian. And other than that provocative, albeit highly doubtful, prediction for the future from a prominent policy wonk who is sympathetic to libertarians but not firmly in that camp. And we have a news story to this effect that's come up on the web. And the reason this is brought up, by the way, is there was a massive defection from the Libertarian Party and even in the Constitution Party, I'll have to add, people who voted for George Bush at the last minute being scared that Kerry might win. It's sad when principled people who have otherwise have a principled vote at the last minute can be wooed over by the demagoguery and the folly of the Republican Party and make us believe that if we don't elect George Bush, things are going to get really, really bad. Folks, they are really, really bad. I don't care if Tony Beam and the rest of the world wants to get out there and tell you on radio that the world is a better place because G.W. Bush is in office. That just think how horrible it would be otherwise. Folks, it's bad. It's not okay. John Kerry could not do much worse than George W. Bush is doing. Well, what would he do that's worse? Think about it. Would we have more abortion or less? That alone should say something. I don't think we would have any less abortion or any more abortion under John Kerry than we would under George Bush. How about on sodomite appointments to the not only to the administration staff but to the different ambassador roles and the promotion of their agenda in public schools? Has George Bush really stopped it? I mean, come on. Has he even dented it? Has he even attempted? Is George Bush himself a homosexual? Some of these things come into question, too. People have brought that up. I don't know if he is or not. This horse story that Chuck Baldwin brought up and his bestiality preference is really bizarre. If that's indeed the case and that works out to be true, then we would understand where he's at. Makes him worse than Bill Clinton, a greater pervert than that. Well, what other things has George Bush done for us? Well, he's taken us over to a phony war in Iraq. For what reason? Oh, to restore peace and harmony. Yeah, right. What a joke that is. And guess what, folks? There's an ulterior motive for going over there. It's not to restore peace and harmony or democracy and all that. It was a staged play. There are so many countries in the world, Sudan, Somalia, Rwanda. There are places in the world that we could invade equally on the same grounds of human rights, and it's never even discussed. George Bush is making an imperialistic ploy to either help, certainly to expand his own power base. But what about to benefit some of his friends, oil buddies? I don't know. How could John Kerry have done worse than that? Well, he might have benefited somebody else. Oh, that's probably true, but why would it be any worse than George Bush? What other things has George Bush done? Name us. Somebody call the show and tell me what great things George W. Bush has done for America and why why it's so much better with him in the office than if Kerry were in the office. Now, hopefully Tony Beam's listening to the show, and he'll be able to call in and give us a great defense for George W. Bush. Maybe he's listening, has nothing to say. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't listen at all. Actually, his show just ended a while back, I think, so he's probably in the cooling-off mode at the moment. Okay, well, enough ranting and raving about George W. Bush for the moment, but let me just say this. The Libertarian president, don't laugh. This is the news article that came out here from the Heartland Institute. Libertarian ideas such as expanding individual liberty, relimiting government, and protecting private property rights have become much more respectable during the last two decades. Less progress, however, appears to be taking place in politics. Nevertheless, I predict the president of the United States elected in 2016 will be the candidate of the Libertarian Party. Bosh, you say. Well, read on. The victory of ideas. Evidence of the triumph of libertarian ideas is all around us. We see it in the fall of the Berlin Wall and the collapse of the Soviet Union, the global spread of capitalism, and the unprecedented percentage of the world's people living in free, democratic countries. Domestically, we see the triumph of the decline of federal taxes as a percent of gross domestic product, the 80% fall in welfare rolls since the federal welfare reform was adopted in 1996, deregulation of airlines, trucking and railroads, and the privatization of thousands of federal, state, and local services. I'm going to have to stop here for a minute and just say, I don't know who's writing this exactly, where his political stands are, but I'm thinking he's being a little bit too optimistic about some of these reforms. Nevertheless, given that statement, let me continue on. Debate has even begun on dismantling Social Security, the Ponzi scheme that entices seniors into dependency on the state, and privatizing government schools, statism's taproot in every community across the country. If we accomplish these last two tasks, we will never be asked where we were or what we were doing in the day freedom was lost. Our generation will rightly be credited with advancing freedom both here and around the world. Well, that part may well be true if it happens. Is Bush a libertarian, he asks. In his second inaugural address, George W. Bush made 48 references to free, freedom, and liberty. So, what is the difference? I just have to, when I read statements like that, I have to ask myself, so, if he does great at giving lip service to all sorts of things. Anyway, it's posted on Heartland's website, which is www.heartland.org. A skeptic might suspect this speech was written to defend an interventionist foreign policy, which libertarians oppose. But our suspicions about Bush's motives don't matter now. The speech is what it is, and it will be read and commented on for decades beyond. The speech does not call for use of military force to spread democracy or freedom to other countries. The only use of military force that is endorsed is for defensive purposes, which libertarians wholeheartedly support. I found this passage near the end of the speech especially remarkable. This is Bush's speech. For the perspective of a single day, including this day of dedication, the issues and questions before our country are many. From the viewpoint of centuries, the questions that come to us are narrow and few. Did our generation advance the cause of freedom, and did our character bring credit to that cause? Imagine selecting just two questions to judge an entire generation. Did we advance freedom, and were the means used ethical? Only a libertarian would choose those two questions. Is Bush a libertarian? Probably not. Probably not. But this speech is by the President of the United States set a new high watermark for a libertarian movement. I'm going to stop reading this here. This is a little bit far-fetched, folks. Bush is not setting any high watermark for the libertarian movement. Bush is only in the sense that he shows just how bad you can actually get and how far you can go with talking the right kind of talk and doing the exact opposite and showing people, yeah, you need to go with a party of principle, a third party. And that's about the extent of it. So I don't agree with this particular story. I'm sure my research staff enjoyed heartily sending it up to me to the Heartland Institute. Any rate, be it as it may, we're going to go to a break. This is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
And critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464. Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
Remember the show phone number today, 864-849-0275. That's 849-0275. Backup number 201-6955. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find they are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at Prime Sirloin on Woodruff Road across from Greenville Mall in Greenville. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the meetup at 8 p.m. the fourth Wednesday of the month. That's next Wednesday. It's at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street downtown. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. And we do appreciate the Libertarian Party's support. Another great supporter is the Christian Exodus Movement. Wanted to let you know about them as well. Do you long for a return to the constitutionally limited government originally given us by our founding fathers, but feel powerless to make it happen? Are you disgusted with the immorality legislated from Washington and forced upon us by federal judges? Do you wish there were more people who felt the way you do? Well, Christian Exodus shares your beliefs. Our members are Christian constitutionalists just like you, and we're working in South Carolina to elect godly men who will refuse to obey illegal federal court rulings just as Judge Roy Moore did in Alabama. Our forefathers lit the path to liberty. Now our sons depend upon our success today. Please join with us at ChristianExodus.org. For Southern Independence, Corey, and they do greatly support the Tyranny Response Network and Christian Worldview program, and we appreciate their efforts in that regard. What do you do when sexual addiction targets children? This is a story by Mark Hartzell and David Longacre. Pedophilia, we are rightly repulsed by the subject, but it must be addressed. The church must speak pointedly and biblically into the darkness, or the darkness will spread. We've seen it before. Many people were aware in 1973, the year the bleak Roe versus Wade decision altered the landscape of how our country treats unborn children. But another critical decision was made in 1973. Its impact is also ringing through our culture 25 years later. In 1973, after repeated assaults by pro-gay activists, the American Psychiatric Association, APA, removed homosexuality from its list of mental disorders. Homosexuality was no longer a treatable illness, but to be considered normal and healthy. And now the mental health gurus seem to be taking the next step. According to the APA's latest diagnostic manual, the standard for mental health workers worldwide, a person should not be considered to have a psychological disorder simply because he molests children. It's only a problem if the fantasy, sexual urges, or behaviors cause clinically significant distress or impairment in social, occupational, or other important areas of functioning. Thus, the lack of protection for children in our culture is deepening, and the doorway is widening for the normalization of pedophilia and the sexual abuse of the least powerful members of society, and the church must rise from sleeping in the light to battle this spreading darkness. Look, let me just interject. The church has not risen from sleeping in the light over the abortion issue. They're not going to raise up over the pedophilia issue either. I'm sorry, but I just don't have any hopes from this modern evangelical church in the way the situation is, unless there's a great revival and people start truly understanding the Christian worldview, become regenerate, if God regenerates these people, because as I understand it, many churches are just full of folks who aren't even saved. Unless that happens, there's not going to be any change here. It's a disgusting thing to see something like pedophilia go on. It's a revolting thing that occurs in society. But you know what? They will wear us down, especially to the public school, to thinking it's just a normal thing. Just like homosexuality 30 years ago was something that just revolted people. Nowadays, it's just an okay thing that some people do. Even Christians have become jaded to the whole issue, or desensitized, where it's no longer shocking to us. It's just the way things are, folks. And those who hold the reins in the public schoolways and public airways are going to make sure that we're completely indoctrinating in this regard. They continue to say, thus, the lack of protection of children are, I've already said that, deepening. Just in the last few months, pedophilia and the child pornography that fuels it have been turning up an increasing number of headlines and offer a manner very similar to the way homosexuality was mainstreamed 25 years ago. These are troubling trends that every Christian should be aware of and ready to respond to. There's scholar Leon Rhodes. Pop psychologist Laura Schlesinger, also known as Dr. Laura, to her vast audience, blew the whistle on the American Psychological Association for an article published in its Psychological Bulletin in 1998. The authors, two out of three of them from Philadelphia, were educators who re-examined 59 previous studies on how college students coped with sexual abuse. They concluded the vast majority of both men and women reported no negative sexual effects from their child sexual abuse experiences. Oh, isn't that nice? Whatever. And so they go on with different studies that show that it's okay, that it really wasn't that bad to be molested as a kid. Then they have the whole issue of kiddie porn and porn directed at kids. Children are being sexualized in movies and the music they listen to and the clothes their parents buy them. Not my kids, at any rate. Maybe other kids, their parents buy them clothes that would cause this problem. Hope it's not any of you who are listening. As well as through the ever-increasing bombardment of pornography that exploits them and even is directed to them. Child pornography, once available only at the sleaziest of X-rated bookstores, is now at your local Barnes & Noble under the guise of art and the expressions of the First Amendment. In fact, I think Rippin, and I know Rippin Richie got his name, Rippin, because he would go into Barnes & Nobles and rip up the books. That is, he'd grab some books that are supposedly art and really kiddie porn, and as he said, he would rip them up. So at any rate, yes, we're being desensitized, and there's also global chaos with sexual abuse having an influence all over the world, pedophiles accessing children in Central America with great ease. We have all sorts of reports out of Guatemala and elsewhere in the world of this sort of thing happening in Asia especially. Homosexuality and pedophilia, of course, the two go hand in hand. We have the NAMBLA, that's the North American Man-Boy Love Association. Nowadays, that's not as repugnant as it used to be, and that's the sad reality of what we see in the world. And any rate, the church must respond to these things. They must look in the mirror before you look out the window. The lure of forbidden fruit has been with us ever since the Garden of Eden. And Chaucer's Canterbury's Tales, a character known as the Wife of Bath, put it in 14th century prose. Forbid us thing, and that desire we. If we are honest with ourselves, as God calls us to be, we must admit that there is no sin that we are not capable in the darkness of our fallen hearts. That's very true. We also need to stand for the truth. Sin's destructive, and we need to stand up against it. If we're not going to stand for the truth, we're not going to win. And we also have to speak about the heart issues. We have to consistently, boldly, and in every setting, oppose pedophilia and homosexuality and every form of adultery as a disorder of worship and all sorts of sexual sin having their root in idolatry, a longing for the overwhelming, a looking for a worship experience. We need to talk about these heart issues, this article says. And it's some great points. I wonder if the church is really going to be willing to follow through with this, though, folks. It's a sad state of affairs. But the church has not done its job in opposing evil in the world. They're too afraid, they're too cowardly to stand up for the truth. Until they're willing to stand up for the truth, I really don't think we have much hope. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're coming to a quick break, and we'll be back in a minute.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Remember, our phone number here is 864-849-0275. 864-849-0275. Still time to get on the show. If you're interested in giving us a call, I'll be happy to hear from you this morning. Our backup line, 864-201-6955. If the first number, for some reason, you can't get through on. Well, I also wanted to give our one quick plug again for the Tyranny Response Network. They're trying to expand and extend their signal throughout the upstate. In order to do that, they need your support, volunteer organization, and they could use small donations right now. Believe me, all those small donations do add up. Right now, they're trying to expand their transmission of capability up in the Spartanburg area. They're already actually working and have work in progress for the Greenville area and as well as Pickens-Anderson area. So those areas should be lighting up with greater clarity before too long. Doing it as an evening job or a weekend job makes it a little more difficult to get things done quickly. But if you don't mind being patient, we will proceed, and the Tyranny Response Network will continue to grow. In order to grow into the Spartanburg region as strongly as they'd like to, they need your support now. For anybody during the month of June who's able to donate $25 or more, they'll receive a free copy of my latest book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, autographed. And if it's $100 or more, they'll also receive the DVD, Warriors of Honor, about the heritage and legacy of Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee. In order to donate, go to the tyrannyresponse.net or .com website. Scroll to the bottom. You'll find the address there where you can mail your check. Make sure to include your name and address so we know where to send the books and videos. It's P.O. Box 151 in Piedmont, South Carolina. If you prefer an online payment service to use Visa or MasterCard or PayPal, go to policyofliberty.net and scroll down on the homepage, and you'll find the buttons there where you can access that method. Thanks for supporting the Tyranny Response Network this month. It really does make a difference, and thanks for helping to promote the truth in the upstate of South Carolina. Well, in the times past, we've had taken a few minutes to read something very archaic, known as the Bill of Rights, and we're going to go ahead and read this great archaic document because it is just so full of truth and liberty, and we need to be reminded of what the Bill of Rights says. Most Christians don't have any idea. I want to read the my latest article in the Times Examiner I'm working on right now is going to have to do with the Second Amendment and public policy theology. And the Second Amendment, of course, is Article 2, or the second article of the Bill of Rights. So I'm going to read the first and the second today as we close the show and just make a couple comments here. Think about what the framers were meaning when they wrote these First Amendment and Second Amendment to the Constitution. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people to peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. That's Article 1. That's what freedom you have. Not a a wall of separation, the misquoted, taken out of context, Jefferson in a letter to the Baptist Church in Danbury 14 years afterward. It was, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. It prohibits Congress from making a state church or a national denomination. And this amendment guarantees you the right to have freedom of religion and freedom of speech, the freedom of the press. And if we didn't have freedom of speech, we wouldn't even be able to have Christian worldview. We'd be living in under certainly tyranny, and we're glad that we have freedom of speech here in America. Of course, it doesn't mean they're not going to try to stifle it. They do. I mean, they're not necessarily happy. Government agents and people who run the state are not happy with free speech, but nevertheless, it is there in our Bill of Rights. Article 2 says, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Great, great article. Ask Tony Beam what that meant. He didn't know. He said he didn't hear anything about this having anything to do with being able to defend ourselves against tyrants and against the state. He probably espouses this theory that the Second Amendment has to deal with hunting rifles and making sure that we have our target shooters all set to go. Picking on Tony Beam, he's not the only one. He's just another, a talk show host. Nevertheless, there are many people who believe that nonsense. The whole reason the Second Amendment's in here, folks, is because our framers did not trust the state. They knew it would get out of hand. They knew government would grow into a proactive state, and there'd be a time when we'd have to attack it. The only way we'd get our ultimate liberty back, the ultimate check and balance, would be for Americans to rise up in resistance against it. Now, that's a hard thing to say, but that's exactly what the framers meant, and there's plenty of evidence to suggest that. We'll talk about that more in a later show. We appreciate you listening today to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We look forward to hearing having you back again tomorrow for your calls and emails and for your conversation, your listening pleasure, as we bring you another edition then of Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.